Dynamite Download.
John Silver.
Special event, as you can see, SPD.
For a splashing good time.
Welcome to Dynamite Download.
Episode 41, SPD. We're over that episode 40 hump. Y'all are here. We are finally, this is the last episode of AEW where we're, I feel like Dynamite, where it was all over the map, man. We were getting Friday nights, Saturday nights. We were bouncing back and forth. And we are finally, it feels like we're settled in. We're home. AEW is getting back on the road again. And it was great to hear Dynamite start tonight with, you know, it's Wednesday night. You know what that means.
That hit
hard. It was fantastic. And what a show. It felt like AEW or Dynamite. Wow. By the way, excellent stash. It felt like AEW pulled out all the stops tonight. They gave the crowd at Daly's Place a real send off. Gave them a fantastic show before they closed that chapter.
Oh my gosh, it was so great. I tweeted it out. I was saying, like, this makes you really proud to be an AEW fan. Nights like tonight makes you so proud to be an AEW fan. Just the way they capped it off, you know, like Excalibur said, the building blocks of AEW, main eventing it, getting plenty of time, then sending us home with that awesome video package. And it just was so great. And it was, you know, it was the kickoff of the summer of the stash. And I mean, we saw it with the Young Bucks. We saw it with Kenny Omega, and you see it on SPD, Babyface. And I mean, what did I call last year or last week? I said it was the summer of the stash and the summer of pain. And I had the stash going. And then sure enough, the Young Bucks, you know, they're copping our game right here. And so we'll kick things off. Thank you, everyone, for joining
stashes,
us.
No doubt about it. As soon as I saw the entrance of the Bucks tonight, I was texting you right away. I was like, SPD, I know SPD is a sucker for a good stash. And he had to have been geeking out. You know, Dangly's mustache, the new facial hair. The Bucks, their trolling is on an absolute epic level right now. And it felt like, you know, they've kind of leaned into all these theatrics to lean into those theatrics. They are they're feeling themselves right now, dude. Like they know that they're on another level, but their egos, they got knocked down a peg tonight, dude. This was a shocker to start off with Dynamite. This was a big start to the show, not one that we saw coming. I feel like the fan base has gotten so accustomed to having the Bucks just find a way by hook or by crook, the cold spray, whatever they have to pull off a W. And man, oh man, they did not, those antics did not finish off Kingston and Penta. And, you know, SPD, you had to have been loving this one because, you know, there were some real chops coming hard and heavy from that side of the ring. Penta and Kingston, man, those guys can deliver them in epic fashion. What was your takeaway on this match, man? Were you as surprised as I was to see the end result?
I was definitely happy for it. A little bit surprised, but just because of the role that, you know, how aggressive and how amazing the Young Bucks have been just tearing through the tag division. But like you said, I was last show, I mean, which was a couple days ago on Saturday night, I was just so excited. The number one thing other than the main event I was looking forward to was what was going to the Young Bucks were going to do. And they did not disappoint. I am a sucker for a good mustache. You know, the Butcher has got the best stash in the biz. I know the Young Bucks showed up
with some
good stashes.
Respect on Uncle Dax's name too, man.
Uncle Dax. Hey, I send it to him, man. I'm working on the scruff and the stash all based on Uncle Dax, man. That guy is the best, man. The workhorseman. Little happy birthday salute to him as well. So we'll cheers to that.
Sir. Yes,
but,
sir.
But, you know, Tony Schiavone was on fire tonight on commentary. I mean, I love his support for DMD. I love how he just hates MJF, and he hates the Young Bucks and the Elite, and he's just calling them porn stars on there. But
Oh, my gosh.
You're right, man. Also a sucker for a stash, and I'm a sucker for a chop. And this match was full of those two, man. Stashes and chops.
This was an SPD special.
It was, man. It was an A-plus all elite from SPD for sure, man. I don't know whose offense I love more in this, Young Bucks or Penta's, man. Penta, when he gets on a roll, he's just unstoppable. And his showboating and the crowd is loving it for sure, man. The crowd was hot for this opening number, and I was texting you guys. I was like, how do you follow this? Just because it was just that hot, those false finishes, that, you know, that three count the crowd was chanting, and all the interference shenanigans, man. This was just, as always, anytime the Young Bucks kick off a Dynamite, you know, the bar has been set. And then those who follow, good luck, because even though it's a team effort, it's a tough one, and it's a perfect way to start. And then you slowed things down with a couple promos so you don't, you know, hurt the next match, and then you bring it right back in.
Yeah. I mean, the crowd, the energy was hot. And anytime the Bucks start off an episode of Dynamite, you know, they know how to work a crowd, man. They know how to work people. There's a reason why the Young Bucks bio is a thing. And, you know, they just know how to engage people and get people to, you know, under their skin and get people riled up. And the crowd was eating this match up. Just scooping it, shoveling it in, man. They were loving every minute of this match.
Lurping it.
They were slurping it up, and there's no reason. And there's you know, honestly, when you put all this out on paper, man, people are salivating for the Bucks to kind of get, as JR and the commentator team talked about, get that karma to strike them, right?
Finally.
they've been doing all this underhanded tactics, and they can call themselves the extremely violent people, but so many of their wins have been, you know, on a combination of Brandon Cutler, the cold spray, or some sort of referee distraction.
The good brothers.
But that said, man, let's give the credit where credit's due. The super kicks were coming out hard tonight. Penta was countering with some killer kicks of his own. The offense in this one, you know, I think that, like, the commentator team did a really nice job too of talking about,
as always,
the challengers, right? Kingston and Penta, you know, we haven't had an opportunity to see a lot of them in tag action together, especially of late, right? I mean, obviously we know that they're best friends, but they haven't had a lot of in-ring work together of late. And when you look at their styles, you can see why this team works, right? Why they were the team to break through and be able to get on the upper hand of the Bucks. You know, they both can brawl. They both have some technique. When technique needs to happen, they can scrap, right? So I liked how Kingston kind of continues to do that Street Fighter vibe, but also make sure to remind people this dude has been around the game long enough to have a couple tricks up his sleeve. It's not just the Bucks who have been in wrestling forever and have traveled the world. This dude's done the same. So I like that we got to see sort of that, those equals presented on this side. Where that goes from here, SPD, I picked up on it. The commentator team picked up on it. They mentioned the Bucks trolling the Lucha Brothers in this matchup. My ears perked up when I heard that because I know that that's the ultimate game plan, the SPD. I could see these guys coming up just short, Bucks rubbing it in. Bucks really kind of just rubbing salt in the wound and a returning Ray Phoenix to come and try and save his brothers.
A returning.
Go ahead. Wow.
I could have kept going, bro.
Brother, that was an impressive one, dude. You could tell.
I can't wait for this, man. I see it playing out like a 4-on-4 match, even Good Brothers and Young Bucks, after the returning Ray Phoenix. The Elite Killer, Penta and Eddie, you can cross that. And then ultimately, the Lucha Brothers take the gold, baby.
I love it. I love where your head's at, man. I love where what you're thinking. I think that SPD, the crystal ball, is if things play out the way that, you know, we like the fantasy book here a lot, folks. Oh, I know that's part of the fun. I love hearing what the fans out there think too. And we'll get more. We're gonna get back into our routine and back into our schedule.
Finally.
Get that Friday night fights and flights going again, and we're gonna start spitballing with all y'all. Do all that fantasy booking, because that's a lot of the fun, especially when you could say, "Hey, I thought that would happen." And I think, SPD, you're going to have a moment where you could say, "I told you so."
I can't wait, man.
That's in the cards, my friend. So, you know, talking about, you know, championship matches, we are fresh off the heels of a big championship match. Kenny Omega defended his title against Jungle Boy. You know, Jungle Boy fell just short, but certainly was presented as an equal man. Jungle Boy is on the top of the world right now.
Right.
As we tweeted out, my man is dating Anna Jay. My man went toe-to-toe with the best bout machine. And tonight, against the dirtbag of all dirtbags, he came out with his 50th career win in AEW. 5-0, folks.
That's 5-0. Quite the accomplishment for sure, man. That is quite the notch in the belt. And I mean, in Kenny Omega's promo, which we'll talk about in a little bit, he was really putting over Jungle Boy, Jungle Jack Perry, over and over, saying he's the future and all this stuff, and as he should for sure. You know, so this was when this got announced earlier today. I was ecstatic because I know we are huge TH2 fans. I think these two needed a little bit more time in this match, per se. I wanted more time because I think these two styles would work so well, do work so well together and make it so entertaining. And I wanted some more back and forth. It tied the story together when we saw the promo early on with Christian Cage and Lucius Soros introducing himself to Christian Cage. And, you know, picking up some allies in there. And then how Christian Cage said he's like 1/8 of some kind of dinosaur. I thought that was funny. Kind of bringing some more of his, he's known for a lot of comedic stuff and he's been doing a lot of serious stuff here, and his comedic stuff is some of his best stuff as well. So we're seeing kind of both ends of that, which was great in that promo. But the match, man, I think, you know, I was eager for more, you know, and it made sense. Like Hardy just saying, "I don't care if you win or lose. I just want you to just like take him out." And so, this match, I texted you guys, we got so many great entrances that we absolutely loved. You know, talk about Jurassic Jungle Boy, Judas to kick things off, which was absolutely fantastic.
Got a little TH2.
We got our TH2 that we got. And so, I mean, so many time and time again. But this match, man, it just helps. I think it was needed to kind of a quick, you know, he had a banger of a match that elevated him in that title match against Kenny Omega, elevated his stardom and his, you know, fan base by tenfolds, I think. And then just to get a quick another win, you know, a Dynamite 4 days later is really important. And I think that was good booking by AEW on that for sure.
Yeah, and even as like for me, I know that I've rubbed off on you a little bit, and I know that you like Jack Evans now, because I can't stop waxing poetic about every time I get a chance to see Dirtbag Jack Evans, just how much I love Dirtbag Jack Evans. you know, but for me, even as a Jack Evans advocate, I felt like this match played out the way it should, SPD.
Sure,
I think that, you know, Jack's momentum is not, you know, it's not where it could be to be as far as making him look like an equal to Jungle Boy, man. Like that's just on the land, in the landscape of AEW, with Jungle Boy coming fresh off the heels of going toe to toe with Kenny. I thought that this was a good, convincing win. Now Jack had his moments, and certainly got some of his trademark offense in. I thought that cartwheel elbow into the corner on a Jungle Boy was really nicely executed from Jack. And I thought, like you said, size-wise, this was a nice match. It allowed Jungle Boy to kind of display a little different side of him at times, being in control of this match, really kind of pushing Jack Evans around a little bit, which I enjoyed. And it was a nice, convincing win from JB at the end. You know, and for us here at Dynamite Download, we've talked about it time and again. That snare trap, that finish from Jack Perry is one of the best in the business right now. Absolutely convincing. Whenever he gets that locked in, you are waiting for the guy to tap. You feel like that is one of the more, no doubt, this game over type of finishes.
Speaking of game over, that the game over and the snare trap are the top two. Well, okay. Ooh, man, this will be a topic before we segue. Not to cut you off, a good topic we should talk on our Friday Night Flights and Fights show, which is back, baby, 10 p.m. this Friday.
Yes, sir.
By popular demand.
Yes, sir.
Which we're going to dive more deep into some of the segments on Wednesday night's or tonight's show. We're going to just cover a couple of the few matches tonight. This might be an express Dynamite download. We'll try to reel it in, but got a lot. We're going to hit a lot more depth on Friday night starting at 10 p.m. But I want to know your favorite submission in AEW, whether it be the lockjaw, the game over, the snare trap, the salt of the earth. You know, I mean, we got some good ones. And so even Angelico's got some sleeper good ones. So, like, I want to know your favorites. So think about it. Ponder it. I don't want to overlook it. But for sure.
I like it.
Anyways.
It's nice to talk submission wrestling. I think, just as a fan of AEW, it's so nice that we're talking about that, because critics of this company just talk about how it's just a bunch of flips and all this stuff, acrobatics and stuff like that. Right. It's really a nice thing to talk about, you know, submission-based wrestling. For me, it's clear. This company has a little bit of everything for everybody, right? I mean, and we get to see it throughout this show. You transition from this match, SPD, into what we were just talking about. We got to see Miro defend against Brian Pillman Jr. I mean, that was a match where you talk about size involved with Miro. And we talked about it internally here at Dynamite Download. Man, Brian Pillman looked pretty jacked. I mean, he was not looking little next to Miro tonight. So props to Pillman, the energy that he brought in that matchup.
Let's talk about
the intensity of that one. You know, he was not backing down from Miro. He was not backing down from and Miro talks a big game. He's killing it on the promo scene right now. Miro is a stone cold killer in these promos, and he's commanding that respect. But there's the fine line. There's almost like where he, you know, respect and then fear. And Miro, it's almost like he wants to strike fear into the people that he's going against. Brian Pillman was not afraid of Miro. Now, do you think that at the end of tonight, do you think he's going to put a little more respect on the champ's name, on God's favorite champion's name? Because I think
Brian Pillman is going to, he's going to have to put some respect in the Bulgarian bitch, as he said, which props to Pillman, man. He had a fire promo last week and a fire promo today, and even Jericho was saying how great of a promo work he was doing, man. But, you know, I'm loving, like we've consistently said, loving this Varsity Blondes gimmick. Even today, like there's their theme song, like this wildcat roar, this lion roar. It's really fun, and I liked how it's like you're the varsity and you're putting your coat on your girlfriend, you know, his varsity jacket onto his girlfriend, and it, like with the Julia Hart and the cheerleader. So like all that is like hitting so well for me. But honestly, Pillman, man, there was a lot of, you know, before I get in the match, one more thing. The Miro's new entrance was fantastic. New theme song, new pyro, new pacing to it. It fits so well of this dominant warrior of Miro. So I love that. So props to that. This new rebranding of him. Finally, he's getting away from the video gamer.
The best man.
I still like the game over name of his finisher.
Me too.
But the whole Kip thing, finally, it's kind of like pushed aside and we're moving on to this new Miro. And the commentator team, including Jericho, did a great job saying that. But, you know, this was a great back and forth match. And I think Miro is starting to give us that fighting TNT champion matches where you can get some convincing things for a while, where he's not gonna, you know, I would be all for just a squash dominant nonstop, but we saw it with Evil Uno. We saw him go to war with Evil Uno, which was an awesome match. We see him go to war here with Pillman back and forth. And you almost have some moments where there's convincing, where you think Pillman could steal a win. You know, deep down inside, we don't know what's going to happen because Miro is so damn strong and such on a mission right now. But it's an actual – those contenders that I've been wanting to see. I want to see people who are legit contenders. I don't want to see a Marco Stunt go against Miro. I want to see a Hawks like – Yeah. Okay. For Mind Runner, I'm put kidding. Some respect on a heel.
There, thank you. Respect. Yes. Yeah. Once Marco gets that heel turn, I'm telling you, he's gonna have you. I'm just joking.
You're right. But
I know what you mean, dude. I know what you mean. Like, and we struggled with it when Lance Archer versus Miro happened, and it wasn't because it wasn't the type of match we wanted to see. It was just because we felt like that's something that you could have absolutely milked that feud and let that feud go a little longer. But I see. I know what you're going. Miro going against legitimate names that we see as, you know, real talents in AEW. I feel like Brian Pillman Jr. is one of those guys. I think that Brian Pillman Jr. Tonight was just an absolutely phenomenal reminder of all the young talent that AEW has, man. The main event obviously was a showcase of, you know, the future versus the present, as MJF put it. But there's so much young talent, Jack Perry, that Brian Pillman Jr. We see it across the board in this company that is really starting to emerge as a showcase and as a real heartbeat of what AEW is about. So I think that Brian Pillman, you know, when given the opportunities, this kid is delivering. Right. He's hitting his promos. I think that the Varsity Blondes look, as you talked about, I like their entrance a lot. I really like that kind of 70s, 80s, like rock theme song kind of vibe they got going, like a Guns N' Roses type of vibe. The energy that Griff Garrison brings to that crew. Julia Hart's a perfect fit. I like what they're doing there. But let's be honest. When we look at the landscape of AEW, at that landscape, there are few champions in AEW that are quite as rock solid cemented as Miro right now. I don't see Miro going anywhere anytime soon.
That is absolutely true, man. And I'm happy for that because that's what we've wanted all along. And this is just it's almost like the hors d'oeuvres before you even sit down and order appetizers. You know, it's like you're entering the building and you're getting past a couple hors d'oeuvres, you know, a little champagne. We got so much more in store for this for Miro's run. I ask you every time, and I still stand by who I want to see next. Well, who dethrones him is what to say. Yes, Miro versus Brian Cage would be insane, but I think it's hard to say who's next for Miro right now. I mean, we didn't see the Pillman come in and it worked well and it was a fantastic match. But I mean, we could dive deep. I want to hear Booking by Bonds a little bit of Miro, you know, for that as well.
You're a little geek out about that. But I mean, that SPD, like we don't really have a clear cut challenger for Miro right now. And after he ripped the title from Darby Allin, right? It was his destiny to rip the title away from Darby. It feels like Darby's life has just been absolutely consumed by people wanting to destroy this poor kid. Whether it's at Brian Cage, Miro, and now All Ego, Ethan Page. I mean, the days of him being at the top of the world as the TNT champion have to feel like years ago for Darby, because this poor kid has just been put through the ringer. Tonight, though, he seemed to get the last laugh against Ethan Page, a guy who, you know, I'm super high on. All Ego all day, baby. And even though the crowd was giving him a hard time and couldn't seem to hear him, this is one of the few moments where it's like, wow, I'm actually happy that I'm home because I could hear this whole promo. And Ethan Page was killing it. My man was just absolutely hitting sucker punches, jabs, guts, you know, gut punches. My man was going back, like going at it. And he really explained why this is so, like, he's so obsessed with beating Darby Allin and ending Darby Allin. And what makes this that much more compelling is just his motivations. When you think about it from a psychology standpoint, this dude is just like he is playing the ultimate games with Darby Allin right now. Like the coffin match, the rationale that this dude pitched for the coffin match and how he paired it in to Darby Allin's finish, the coffin drop, a about how every time you go for that move, you're going to think about me. Like, that is just a – I don't know, man. I thought that was really smart stuff by Ethan Page tonight.
Sure.
It wasn't just a – like, it could have been, you know, just a throw-in promo. I hate you, Darby. I'm coming for you.
You stink.
Yeah, I mean, like, there is some intelligence there and some depth and some substance. And that makes – I mean, again, Ethan Page, this dude checks all the boxes, bro. I mean
– does he ever.
What were your thoughts on the way that this one played out? And, again, my man Darby come – like a freight train coming off that out of that casket. He came coming running down the ramp. Again, I love when Darby shows this ruthless side, like this just like desperate side of him when he's clawing at their eyeballs and trying to plug their nose. And
I know
just, when he's just gnawing at their face.
Yep.
I love that side of Darby.
Little rat Fink.
The little rat Fink.
So, you know, props to this is the Darby that the side that I would you know consider boarding the
choo-choo. Choo-choo.
All right. I would consider boarding the Darby train is when he's doing like this aggressiveness and the cinematic promos that we love. And so we saw a quick one to kick things off to before Sting came out. And I think that helped out a lot. And I loved that you know aura of it. Anytime he does those cinematic promos, are always a home run. Always a home run. So that part I love about Darby. But this is still where, even though I know you're all ego, Ethan Page, Mark for sure.
Yeah.
I still think you're more of the babyface. I think we need to switch shirts. You're the babyface Darby conductor, and I think I'm the men of the year supporter heels. And
I know you. I the know stuff you that he's doing.
Right now, but. Yeah, I think what Ethan Page is doing is more. Significant and more, you know, powerful than what Darby is doing right now. And I think Ethan Page is benefiting. Both guys are benefiting from this promo for sure. I think that Ethan Page is really elevating his stardom. As you said, this would be the wild card best sign in AEW, but the heat, I think, I mean, depending on the mic setup and the way they're reading the crowd, I think Ethan Page got more heat than MJF tonight. And that's saying a lot.
Well, and that's because
maybe not during that commercial break.
There are more people on the Darby Express than you think, my friend. And just so you know, Darby is going mainstream, brother. Darby's going to be in Jackass the movie. So, you know, I'll say this, SPD. I'm not gonna talk you off your soapbox when you're preaching how great Ethan Page is, right? I'm not going to – and again, tonight, this guy absolutely delivered again on the mic. And it could have sure. – and that segment could have derailed really quick. I mean, no one has suffered from the technical difficulties in production quite like Ethan Page. If we can remember his Dynamite debut, he got the NBA defense over his debut match on Dynamite. You know, this guy has gotten things thrown his way, and this guy has shown an ability to adapt on the fly to keep things rolling. Intelligence, creativity to not let things go off the rails. That segment tonight, right. Especially with the crowd, the live crowd couldn't hear him chanting "What" at him. You know, we can't hear you. All sorts of chants like that, and that he did not get flubbered. He did not get like thrown off his game. In fact, I feel like it pushed him to be that much more razor focused.
All right.
And you have that kind of like that edge to you and that kind of swagger to you when you're like you're feeling yourself and you know like I got this. None of that background noise is going to affect me. Ethan Page is that this dude is I know that you're sailing by Sean. You love your big yachts. This dude is a dream yacht. This guy is not going anywhere anytime soon. Hop aboard the Ethan All Ego Ethan Page cruise, baby, because that guy is cruising towards some championship gold in the near future. I want to go where that guy is going because that guy has everything it takes to be a top star in this business. Now, that said, SPD, you're wearing that babyface shirt, brother. Remember what we preach. Iron sharpens iron. And I think that when you in a year from now, 2 years from now, you're gonna look back. Darby Allin has such a track record of when people go against this kid, they look better at the end.
Sure.
And that's a huge testimony to what he's willing to do. The selfless this dude
right.
remains over. He remains popular. He remains a connection with the fans, and he finds a way to somehow give to the people that he's going against. They throw him around, treat him like a rag doll. They look like a box, and he still can hold on to his legitimacy, still hold on to his solid ground. I got a lot of respect for the way Darby Allin conducts himself. And if I'm building a company, I have no problem getting that guy on my roster, dude. I think that guy is the real deal, and he will be for a long, long, long time ahead.
Absolutely. Well said, man. You're the conductor of the Darby Express, and I'll be the captain of the Ethan Page sail away with SPD ship. So speaking of building your company around people, we have the collector, which I think you would look good with this, man. Just shave your chin down. I mean, you got that. I think you should for Friday night, shave that chin straight down and get that awesome stash going that Kenny Omega did. But it was hard. You know, we showed this graphic and it's hard to believe that Kenny Omega has been the champ for 210 days. Does that seem like long to you?
Bro,
like,
I mean, honestly, you think about what he's done and who he's beat, and Kenny, you know, let's give this guy his just due.
Of course.
He's not just a killer in the ring. He's not just the best bout machine.
He's the collector, baby.
A man has been quietly just an absolute fire promo for quite a while now. Ever since Don Callis has been involved and kind of got this different side of Kenny, he's been on fire on the mic. And he was rattling off tonight, dude. He's beat John Moxley. He beat Eddie Kingston. He's beat Pac. You could go through names. Phoenix. Mm-hmm. You can just keep rattling off people left and right. Jungle, Jack Perry. The guy has just put down everybody that there is in AEW for the most part, right?
Right.
And he came out and he was spitting fire tonight.
But
the one guy we all are waiting for, and I don't think that you don't have to be, you could be a very casual AEW fan, and the writing has been on the wall for a long time, man. Hangman Page against Kenny Omega for that world championship. That needs to happen.
Coming.
And tonight we got the first seeds were being planted, SPD, as we like to say. The seeds, Johnny Appleseed was coming around and planting Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega little seeds to sprout, because that's going to be a full-blown feud come All Out. People, you are going to want to be at All Out this year. When we just see what
they are going to be there, baby.
This Dynamite Download is going to be there. You're going to want to come hang out with us.
That's right.
But I mean, what AEW has done just to stack the card for Road Rager?
Oh,
when you think about what that show is going to be, I can only imagine what they're going to give us at All Out. And this is the match that's going to headline that show, bro. This is this is the match that's going to
perfect build.
It's going to be perfect. I love how they're slow playing the confidence of the Kenny, the man who is overflowing with confidence. And again, if you're him, why wouldn't you be confident? You're the belt collector, right? So you have a man who is oozing machismo, oozing confidence, versus a guy like Hangman who has kind of struggled and had bouts with self-confidence and questioning whether he's legitimate or not. You know, famously had his struggles with, you know, when he lost to Jericho early on about the first title, you know, so there's those doubts that creep up. This whole thing, the way this story played out from when Kenny came out to, and then the Dark Order came and
I love that, man. I really loved when Evil Uno came out, and I was texting you guys, like, him in a suit and kind of this leader role, like him on the mic. This is where it all began. You know, Evil Uno coming out and talking, like, they're bringing it back to where it started. Where it was like, do we like them? Do we hate them? Do we know who these are? Are they jokes? Are they going to do anything? Then obviously they took off with Brody Lee, which I love. They did showed a lot of Brody Lee in that segment at the end of the Dynamite. And now that Uno was the only one wearing a suit and kind of taking that leader role, he's got that, you know, hand behind the back, kind of that evil when he's talking. He's so good on the mic and he's got that, you know, nice voice. So for him to kind of essentially regain this leadership control, I really like that. And I think the crowd is definitely behind it. And it's going to work. And, you know, John Silver has tweeted out and others have tweeted out, we don't need another leader. We already had the best. John Silver said, we already had the best with Brody Lee. And so to help these guys grow more organically within as they have been is a better move in my opinion. Yes, if they do bring in a Tommy End or someone else to the Dark Order, I'm sure it will work. But you know, as of now, I think the crowd is clearly they were popping for Evil Uno when he was versus Miro, and now they're just going to go get over even more as the support for Hangman. You know, the celebration that they're going to give Hangman and things like that. It's going to be great, and it will be helpful down the line when Hangman does get gold to have that backup in Dark Order with the Elite when they come to tag them.
Because you know that that's going to happen. That like what we're seeing now with the Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle, you know, we're going to see a gang war go down at some point with between the Dark Order and the Elite. I think that I agree with you, like with Hangman versus Kenny. And you're going to start to see those sides battling. I think that'd be great stuff, great compelling stuff. You know, and SPD, like when you get down to the brass tacks of it all, you know, the way the story has been presented, it's been very, very clean. Like, you know, I feel like sometimes in AEW, I love how all the characters interact and intertwine with each other, but the way that this whole build has been, it's been very evident, you know. Kenny, when they were tag team champs, everyone was talking Kenny's the best bout machine. And there were times in which it was presented where he was carrying that team. Hangman drinking, you know, kind of like down on his luck. You started to see early on these two very different individuals and their paths and how they're going to continue to parallel each other going forward. It was really interesting, the long-term storytelling. And here tonight, the way that the Dark Order gave Hangman that pep talk at the end.
Oh, my gosh. I loved it, man.
Yep. I thought Alex Reynolds hit that line, hit his line perfectly at the end. You know, John Silver.
You waited long enough. This is your time. And it gave me saying it out loud is giving me chills because I just loved how, you know, Hangman comes in all pissed off. And then because it's a guy that's clearly doesn't know his worth. Doesn't know how good he is his record shows it, but you know, he's still so torn. And to have this amazing best friends that are saying like, you told us when this, you did this for this and so forth. And then Hangman with that chair, when Reynolds with that cherry on top, man, I absolutely love that line, man. You've waited long enough. This is your time. Reynolds just, oof, man. Yeah. I think that will click for Hangman. Maybe he'll just have flashbacks of him saying that. This is your time. This is your time. Then boom, you pull up the gun, have some beers, gold around your shoulder,
I like it.
And all out. Talk about everyone screaming in the parking lot, tailgating, rioting.
I think a lot of beers will be had that night if that ends up being the case. I think a lot of people are waiting to crack open a cold beer and celebrate the Hangman Adam Page World Championship, and not just in the Dark Order. I think we all will. Yeah. Dark Order that night, and I think we'll all be on board with that one. I think that's going to be a home run, and AEW's planting the seeds now. I think it's a brilliant move. September will be here before we know it.
Yeah, tomorrow's July 1st, and it's crazy to see. So I can't wait for this, man. It's perfect. The writing's on the wall, and it's going to be a fantastic main event at All Out, which we were going to predict. We're going to predict the All Out card on Friday night Flights and Fights show. So come with your guys' predictions if you guys are going to join us Friday night. But we're going to do our best kind of just, all, you know, the way we want to book the card. You know, maybe we'll even talk about how we're going to, you know, book the finishes and stuff. But DMD was back in the action. This is, you know, first time since she has gotten gold around her waist. Pairing with Rebel, yep, right there, and Nyla Rose and Vicky. And you know, Vicky said she had surprises for her, and you know, there was, you know, I was surprised how much Vicky did get in the ring, so props to her, and I loved it, man. The crowd definitely was hot for DMD, and especially what happened at the end of this match. It is clearly pitting a strong heel versus a baby face. You don't do something like powerbomb someone through the table, the champion with gold around their waist, through a table after a match, if you want them to be a heel. I mean, I'm sorry. They're quickly following the hearts and the sounds of the fans, which we all love, the DMD.
I regret pushing Britt this hard now. Y'all got on board, and now they're making her a baby face. Why? Can I rewind the clock and just say that I was on Team Thunder the whole time? Because I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I don't know, man. The Nyla feud, is not hitting. I want to plead the fifth. It's not hitting for me. This Nyla feud is not hitting for me right now. I don't want to say anything incriminating because I love the DMD and I don't want to besmirch her name at all. But this is not how I envisioned or would have hoped for the DMD era to begin. I don't know, man. With Britt locking in the lockjaw on a Vicky Guerrero, I get it. Like, that's kind of a babyface move. Like, you talked about going into this week, getting the excuse me.
To shut up the biggest mouth in the whole company. Finally, she gets it. And so that's like, okay, the fans are happy and behind you. And then all of a sudden you have this mean, angry, the native beast, the gatekeeper, as you coined her, which I absolutely love that. Put that on a t-shirt, Nyla Rose. You are the gatekeeper of the women's division. Boom. And then power bombs are, not just a power bomb, a massive power bomb.
Through a table.
It wasn't one where she absorbed it. She just threw her ass through that table, man. And it was brutal.
I agree. And again, you're preaching, you know, again, I said it. Nyla is the gatekeeper. If you can beat her, she's kind of the benchmark. If you can get past her, you're legit. And I get why AEW wants to toy with this idea.
Sure.
Legitimizing their champion, giving Britt a win over Nyla long term really allows her to look strong as a champ, and putting down the native beast is really the ultimate that you can get in AEW, as far as them putting the stamp on you and recognizing that you can go. I get all that. And I also get how she sells merch and she's a great face for the company. I've been saying all this stuff from the beginning, right? I think she's the most bankable star in the company. I think, you know, I've been rattling it off. But I think that this is – I saw it. I saw the crowd. They were chanting DMD, but I saw there was some conflict and, like, there were some moments where people didn't know how to feel during this match. And
tugging on the emotions.
That's how I feel, like, sitting at home, because it's like, I love the DMD. I think that she's legitimately the breakout star of AEW as a company. And that's even when we're talking about later on tonight, we get to see MJF and Sammy. Britt Baker has done that. But I just worry that this feud with Nyla is taking away some of that edge that Britt had. And that's what made her, right? I know that Britt's capable of being a likable, compelling babyface, right?
Of course,
early in her career, that's who she was. I just think that when, again, the Nyla feud, you're rushing. There was no segue from Britt to being the person who was pouring a bottle of water in Thunder Rosa's face
and wiping it off,
smearing her, like rubbing her face in the mud, basically, and doing these awful things, you know, against Sheeta. How did she win the title?
Right.
You know, Rebel cheating with the crutch and all these things. You know, there was no natural transition of Britt being this, like, really detestable heel, big picture, who was popular because she could cut some killer promos and everything, to being this sympathetic baby face. And quite frankly, I don't think that the work has been done with Nyla recent either. I think that obviously Nyla has that reputation long term. She's from the get-go, she's been a stalwart of the women's division.
Yeah.
But of late, I don't know. I mean, I just think that we rushed into something that I think that they want to toy with, and they want to see how Brit fans react to Brit being a babyface, especially with them going on the road.
Oh, it's going to go. It's going to pop for sure. Especially how they're promoting Britsburg in a month, of the new show.
I know. For me, this feud is not hitting. And I really want to see Thunder Rosa back on the scene. It's making me miss Thunder that much more. I know that Britt can carry a feud with anybody. I believe that. I saw her in a feud with, you know, Big Swole, that Britt couldn't even fight. She was in a wheelchair, and it was still fun to watch every week on TV. So I'm not betting against the DMD. When I look at how this is hitting, I really am worried about, like, where this is going to go. I feel like AEW needs to kind of be careful with rushing the Britt Baker face push. That's all I'm going to say.
No, that's you're all right. I'm gonna say. You're right, man. I agree, and I think once they do go on the road, it's going to be a pop after pop after pop, and especially in Pittsburgh, unless she pulls like a go-go where she just like cuts down her city, which I know she's got a lot of pride in her city, so I don't know if she would do that.
She won't do that.
But I think it could really reestablish her heel, her fandom of being a heel if she has some awesome killer. Maybe she'll main event Rampage, which that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Versus, I don't think you can do Thunder this quick because Thunder's kind of been off Dynamite, but maybe she'll main event Rampage against Statlander or something. Yeah,
but that's my thing, right? Is I just you look at like, all right, Nyla is a definite. I mean, Nyla is a heel, right? But she's popular on social media. She's kind of a very progressive person as far as changing the mold is for women's wrestling. She's somebody who they could promote as a babyface in some ways. I know they tried to do that early on in AEW and it wasn't hitting with fans.
Right.
But I look at like the landscape of AEW and I wonder like, all right, I talked about this. I look at it and I'm like the challengers for Britt. I don't see the heels knocking on the door anytime soon, folks. Like
I agree.
I'm like, Ty Conti's right there, right? Sheeta needs to be like challenging for a rematch. There's just more. To me, there's more opportunity with Britt as that heel champ and at letting her be herself. Letting her rub it in everybody's face. Let her be.
Let her gloat.
Let her. I mean, like we've wanted this for so long. Let her gloat. Let her brag. Let her talk that shit. Right? Like I don't want her to lose that edge. That's all. And I have confidence that Britt's going to always maintain that swagger. She is who she is. It's just the way this feud is going, it's just kind of not – I don't know, man. So far, it's not clicking quite like that TR versus Britt dynamic. I'm just hoping that that's it can
tough,
get there.
That's a tough one to match, though. I mean, that was – I mean, the first and only women's main event we've seen, so that was a very, very tough feud to line up.
Yeah, the sooner that we get to Britt kind of –
yeah,
doing her thing and moving on to, and I know it's a buzz out there. Ty Conti would be an awesome challenger.
For sure, of course.
I want to see Britt be herself, and I feel like when you put her up against a Nyla Rose, yeah, Britt still has that confidence and that swagger and talks trash, but Nyla being that beast that she is, Britt's not being that like overly confident, like kind of in your face kind of persona that we're used to seeing, you know? So yeah.
we'll talk about this till we're blue in the face.
You know, a DMD segment can be the whole show for me.
Right? I know we got to talk main event, man. This was the one we've been salivating over for so much. But before we talk about the main event match itself, I want to talk about the MJF promo really quickly. Mm. You know, as this always, dirtbag fire is so promo, good man, this guy mic. Was just, but seeing him just flap his gums, I was texting you guys. I was like, I want to punch him in the face. I just want to punch this guy in the face, man. It just can't stand just like his mannerisms and just the way he is and that stupid ass scarf. But anyways, he spoke a lot of truth. You know, he dethroned Chris Jericho as the king.
He was coming at Jericho. He wants
him to throw him at the towel. And next week, I mean, it's crazy how they're already talking about like the next thing when they have this huge thing tonight. And so they're going to get the stipulations for their next Jericho has to follow in order to get another match with MJF. So that promo was absolutely fire, man. What did you think about the promo? And then we'll dive into the main event that was just a showcase of the young talent that we absolutely loved.
Well, you know, we're talking about two of the best heels in pro wrestling, and yeah. I don't think they're going to turn MJF face anytime soon. We don't need to worry about them going down
ever,
that path.
I don't think.
So, that is great, and the reason why is because this dude is just absolutely – he will do or say anything to make you hate him, and that is a beautiful thing, man. He has not apologized whatsoever.
For sure.
This promo was just ruthless. You know, he was coming at Jericho. You know, taking shots at Jericho's relevance, you know, these days, and really kind of cutting him down as far as the cool dad vibes. And Sammy, let's be real. MJF, like him or hate him, like I've said, and it's really easy to hate him. He was delivering some fire at Sammy, and yeah. Honestly, when it comes to, you know, all checking all the boxes, I think everybody who's a wrestling fan who's seen MJF can acknowledge that, yeah, his future is really exciting. His For sure. future is super bright, but it's not like we're talking about a guy who's got untapped potential or who has a high ceiling, but is not quite there yet. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you and I have talked a lot about guys on, and like, even like a Jungle Boy, right? Like, Jungle Boy can go in the ring, and that guy is really compelling to watch.
Of course. But
from a character perspective, you know, can he carry a feud? Can he cut promo after promo after promo? MJF is on a level where the guy's already there. The guy's got it all.
I know.
And you know, you look at Sammy has been emerging throughout all this feud with the Pinnacle as a guy who you can start to see, like, yeah, he's got it. He's got it all, right? But there's that vibe with Sammy that wait until this guy taps into that next gear. Wait till this guy taps into his that potential that's lying beneath the surface. Think about how great he will be.
Right.
You know, MJF feels like a very mature product at this point. I mean, the guy is polished. He's got it all. And so that's why I can understand why he took such he was so offended by the fact that people were labeling this as the future versus the future. MJF is very legitimately, like, this dude is the now.
Yeah, you're right. The now.
He is the now, guys. And if MJF became your world champion, I don't think anyone would bat an eyelash at his ability. I think a lot of us are excited. I mean, when we got to see that feud with Dictator John and see the promos that he was able to cut, his in-ring work is very intelligent, very, very methodical, very, very much a good fit with anybody, right? He can be a base for any type of talent that AEW throws at him. I think that MJF really, to me, stood out tonight in a good way. His character work is always exceptional, but he was razor focused tonight. And it was obvious from the mic work that he had in that promo to the match itself. MJF was dialed in. And this guy knows an opportunity when he sees it. That's the reason why he's the two-time Dynamite. He's got that two-time diamond ring, kiss the ring. MJF, he knows when the pressure is big. This guy knows how to, and by hook or by crook, he's going to win. And you got to give it to him. Like, the guy is ruthless. At moments tonight, SPD, I know you and I both felt like this could have been the coronation of Sammy Guevara, right? This could have been where he beat MJF. I agree with you. I think this was a win-win, right? Even though MJF came out and he had the Pinnacle come and cheat for him to win the match, this felt like both guys came out looking like $1 million after it, right?
First off, 100%, man. This was, like I said earlier, and I'll keep saying it again, Excalibur said it the best. These guys are the building blocks of AEW's future, and that's absolutely 100% true. And I liked how both of these guys came out alone. They didn't have their, you know, stooges behind MJF or anything like that. And so for them to come out alone, I thought that was really a nice touch to it. And not only did they come out alone, AEW gave them almost 30 minutes of TV time. This whole segment started just around 9:30. And so they had all that. So
great point.
And commentators did a great job of saying MJF has one loss on his record, which I didn't even know he had one singles loss. So I guess, you know, versus Moxley. And Sammy was the first match ever on AEW television. So he was part of that. And so this is the future. And so this was an absolute epic match, one that we want to see for many years to come, like you said in the chat there. But, you know, a lot of showboating at first, which I thought was funny, and then it almost like didn't go as smoothly for a little bit, but then it just took off like crazy. This match took off insane after that commercial break. The spots are
some of those moments.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I think all of us were like, and as diehard wrestling fans, of us were just like, wow, how did they do this? How did they kick out? What's going to be the end of this match? I mean,
yeah,
second rope tombstone pile driver from MJF onto Sammy.
I legit thought he was out because he was like shaking.
That was just absolutely ruthless. Sammy leaping off the top rope into the crowd to take out MJF.
That was insane.
I mean,
this guy's stealing shows. Now that crowds are back, he's clearly stealing shows. Like, this works. His rise to the cream of the top is perfectly timed with the crowds coming back, because anyone can appreciate this guy's athleticism. This guy's willing to risk it all. I mean, just listening to him talk, like, yeah, I'll jump off this, I'll do this. Like, he's clearly fearless and just loves entertaining, and he deserves prime.
Yeah, I mean, and with AEW,
Cuban Destroyer, he did was the springboard nuts. Cuban Destroyer.
And with them going to Texas, the man is primed to he's just gonna blow up, dude. Yeah. Like, this dude is, Sammy is put in a position right now, and Jericho continued to emphasize it on commentary. This guy is the guy who saved the Inner Circle.
Yeah,
this is the conquering hero of the Inner Circle. I think that Jericho is clearly taking the L's against MJF, and there's a movement here coming of Sammy building that confidence. This dude is a breakout star of the Inner Circle. The way this match ended was a thing of beauty, though. You know, like you talked about it, AEW, they had over 30 minutes where these two were just going at each other, absolute phenomenal match where there were so many finishes that could have been. It was just mind blowing. And there was really no shenanigans outside noise in this match until the end.
They had to do it, sadly.
I liked the way this played out. I was a big fan of the Sean Spears chair shot last week in the parking lot against Sammy. I'm really digging that Sean Spears, like, just like you talk about with Frankie Kazarian being the elite hunter. I like that Sean Spears vibe where he's got that, like, at any moment he could strike, at any moment he could snap. You got to keep your head on a swivel when the chairman's in the arena. I like that a lot.
Yeah, you said that. And Sean Spears, if you check his Instagram story right now, you got Dynamite Download on there, quote from Crayfish right there. But I agree, man. It's such a shame, though, the battle that was fought in the ring gets a little spoil, but in the grand scheme of the landscape, it makes sense.
Right.
But you have a chair shot ruin end a match that was so back and forth, so well wrestled. One of the best matches we've seen both guys wrestle in.
It makes you want to see that rematch much more, though.
Yeah,
right?
They're smart booking about that. And, you know, this being the future of AEW, man, I cannot wait, man. This is an exciting time to be an AEW fan.
This is the present.
This is this is the present. This is not the future. These aren't stars. They are stars now.
They are stars now.
And here we go. I mean, this is the typical Dynamite download fashion. Babyface SPD picking Sammy Guevara.
Bro, this is heel Crayfish
picking MJF.
This is back-to-back weeks where we've picked the same match without talking about it.
I know.
This one to me, you know, I know it's you can be a prisoner of the moment. The main event can be could stick with you and linger with you.
Right.
But you could have put this match on Monday and it still would have been my favorite match. You know, this was that good. I think that you and I both are in lockstep. Felt like a breakout performance for Sammy Guevara.
For sure. Of course.
Absolutely 100%. Looked like a killer in the ring. And for me, like, MJF, just the mastermind, dude. How many times have I said it? This guy is playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers, bro. This guy is just on point. He's always thinking, very smart, strategic mind. Awful guy overall. Not a fan of his as a human being.
Yeah, did you see that promo I sent he did commercial break?
Oh,
how he misses the pandemic and all you lazy fat slobs or whatever.
Yeah, I saw.
It's like Rick Rude. Oh, you Atlantic City sweat hogs.
You Motor City sweat hogs. Yeah, he knows how to do it. You know, MJF is not afraid to go after what he knows is going to upset you and hit hard. Yeah. And again, it's so fitting that the dirt, like that drizzling shits, MJF, he finished off Daly's place. Everybody wanted Sammy to win, send the crowd home happy. You know, Daly's place, the people down in Jacksonville have been loyal and fantastic. You know, oh man, Sammy's going to win. You know, he's going to send everybody home happy. And I bet you MJF could not, he's probably popping bottles of Dom Perignon with the guys in the back, just happy as can be to make sure that all those fans out there wearing those double XL t-shirts are going home crying to their miserable poor life. And he's going home with a W as the pinnacle ride out high on AEW Dynamite. This was a heck of a show, SPD. Cannot wait to talk to you more about it on Friday.
I know.
We're going to get into all the stories, all the underlying feuds and where they're going to go. There's so much stuff that we still want to talk about. Dynamite's such a jam-packed show, but there's so much more that we want to talk about with you guys, you fans out there. That is the Friday night's the night where we all just kind of sit back, chill, right, and talk. We kick open a couple beers, and we talk AEW, all things AEW. We're going to get a little booking by Bonds. It's going to be good stuff, man. We're finally going to get back to that.
Fighting's back, baby.
Yes, sir. Getting back into the swing of things, my friend. Make sure you enjoy the rest of your week, folks. Make sure you share this stuff with the people out there. We're so close to 1,000 followers or subscribers on YouTube, guys. We really, 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 really would love that milestone. That would be a home run for us.
Before All Out, baby.
Let's get there before All Out. Let's push it. If you love what we're doing. Have a
download party at All Out.
We've been getting some love. Let's do that. Let's get a little Dynamite download party for All Out. For those of you who give us shout outs on social and try to share our content, we really appreciate that. Could not do that with this stuff without you. And we look forward to talking to you on Friday.
Yes, we can't wait for it, guys. And thank you so much, like you said, for all the support. And what a banger of a show, man. This makes you so proud to be an AEW fan.
Or a WWE Dynamite fan.
Whoops. Whoopsie.